Good morning, Tucson, Arizona. Welcome to Jump in Tucson. I am your host, Grant Kruger. Very excited to be here with you this morning in Tucson. It's a sunny Wednesday morning, June 5th, and things are getting hot and heavy in Tucson on the political scene. A little bit hot and heavy on the restaurant scene, too, as we've got some upcoming changes and challenges going on. First out on Food for Thought, the Hub Playground remodel currently is in process right now. You heard on Wake Up Tucson that Christy Simone was talking about Rio Nuevo and their various funding of projects in downtown Tucson, including Broadway, the Sunshine Mile. Rio Nuevo goes actually all the way to the Park Mall as well, too, in kind of an interesting scenario. And for those that don't know, this is a tax increment financing district, also known as a TIF. And essentially, they get a sales tax rebate where the state sales tax being 5.6% is refunded back to Rio Nuevo, and they can spend half of that money, 2.8% of those gross sales, on things that turn and generate sales tax again. So think of like an empty location downtown, for example, where there's no sales tax happening in the month of May. If that month goes by, that month of May is gone forever. Rio Nuevo never gets that back. Sort of like a golf tee time. If you don't rent the 7:08 in the morning tee time, once 7:16 rolls around, it's over. It's not worth anything. And so what Rio Nuevo does is try to generate sales tax in downtown areas or somewhat blighted areas defined by this district, and put new life into investments that maybe the private sector wouldn't normally do if there wasn't financing like this. And Rio Nuevo ends up playing a much heavier hand in the Tucson restaurant business than most people really understand and believe. Part of the limitations on what Rio Nuevo can do, though, are because they can really only invest in other businesses that generate more sales tax, they can't really develop offices or they can't really develop things that don't have sales tax. I brought the other day a potential car wash deal on Broadway by them to see if they could qualify for that. And because car washes don't have sales tax, businesses like that don't count. A lawyer office, a dentist office, these sort of things aren't going to create that reciprocal cycle that Rio Nuevo needs. That being said, they are funding with an extra $300,000+ the Hub and Playground remodel. So Hub will be closing for pretty much the entirety of the summer, moving over to Playground, and they're going to remodel both of those businesses and combine them into one economic entity. This is certainly something I know a fair bit about with turning the three restaurants in a St. Philip's Plaza into one economic entity. But this is going to be an interesting change for Hub and Playground. I do get worried at how much time and money we put into properties like this one, where it's on a grade A location, right? Like being at 5th in Congress, like this is a absolute winning location. And it shocks me that both Proper didn't make it there on that corner, and Hub and Playground have had so many closures and remodels. Like if you can't make it there on Congress, right? This is ground zero. This is literally right across from Hotel Congress. There isn't a better intersection in all of downtown Tucson, and yet they've had some struggles. And so I certainly wish them well on that remodel. It's going to be interesting to see, but this is a really important development for downtown too. I don't want to say that they're too big to fail, but these are the kind of corners that we need working to have an economically vibrant downtown. And because of the way the sales tax rebate works, it's why Rio Nuevo kind of has a heavy hand in restaurants downtown when there could potentially be other businesses that would also be a huge benefit. But without that sales tax reciprocity, Rio Nuevo just is always going to be looking for businesses that generate sales tax. And what's left besides the restaurant industry? Who's going to open up a camera store or, you know, some sort of boutique? Oh, wait, my wife. But beyond that, like not that many people are going out and creating new stores in the retail sector, given what the internet has done. And so I just wanted to explain that one moving forward on the discussion that Chris was having on Rio Nuevo on our previous show. We also have got a couple interesting restaurant openings announced. That Raleigh's Mexican Patio, right, is going to open up a store in the MSA Annex. For those that don't know, that's the Mercado St. Augustine Annex. That's actually where our baseball stadium should have been, right? And so instead, we've got a containerized sort of entertainment area right now. Raleigh's has done a great job in their first location. I'm excited to see Matt Arteo's growth as a restaurateur as they start to develop into bigger and what I think will be better properties. As well, there's an opening of a new brewery this Saturday, 5 p.m. It is 831 East 17th Street, which is, for those that are keeping track, one block south of where Barrio Brewing is and where that rail yard development is. There is a new brewery coming. It's called the Slow Body Beer Company. That creates quite a bit of breweries and businesses popping up in that warehouse area, which is basically just just west of Park. And so I think that warehouse area might have just about as much economic development or restaurant success as even downtown right now. And certainly there's some unique buildings that are off of those rail yards as well, too, that were designed at one point to have food come in on the rail yards to Tucson and break down cows and other things like this. And now they're turning into some really interesting business, like office rentals and breweries. And so this is looking to me like the new brewery district of Tucson, and I'm excited to see that one happening. And in our last couple minutes of the segment, I wanted to bring up one quick point that I'm not hearing talked about a lot on local news, and that's the presidential election. But not the Donald Trump and Joe Biden presidential election like you might think, but instead Mexico's presidential election. This weekend, on Sunday, Mexico elected Claudia Sheinbaum to become the first woman president in all of North America. We have never had a woman president in Canada. We've never had a woman president in the United States. And historically speaking, Sheinbaum will become the first woman president in all of North America on October 1st when she is sworn into office. Now, of course, we're talking about Tucson over here, and how does this play into Tucson? Well, Mexico and Mexican tourism is actually one of the most important drivers of restaurant sales in all of southern Arizona over here. Wealthy Sonorans from Ciudad Obregón and Hermosillo fill both my restaurants and other restaurants every single weekend. This is a really big driver. Anyone spend some time in the Tucson Mall or the Park Mall will take note that there's probably 40% Sonoran plates in those establishments as well, too. And so Mexico's success is a really important factor in our success over here as well, too. That Morena party's got but a big control in Mexico, and it's going to be a really interesting change to watch what they do legislatively with the Mexican Constitution as well. But when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit of politics from a local Hispanic politician, Edgar Soto, coming up. We're going to talk about that District 3 supervisor race. Lots of fun stuff coming up in Tucson. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Jump in Tucson at 10:30 a.m. The Voice for local news and talk. Hey, welcome back, Tucson. Thanks for listening to Jump in Tucson today. I am your host, Grant Kruger, and in studio, I've got Edgar Soto, candidate for Pima County Supervisor, District 3. Good morning, Edgar.
Good morning. How you doing, Grant?
I'm well. Thanks for coming on the show today. We're excited.
No, I'm excited just to listen to the first part of your show here and hearing about Mexico and the president, Claudia, and what that means for us here in Tucson. And then the other question I had for you, I know you're supposed to be asking me questions, but I've always been intrigued when you talk, and it brings up a lot of questions for me, is downtown Tucson, lots of restaurants. You've traveled all over this country, all over this world. What are some other types of businesses that would be successful in that type of downtown community? Because you think restaurants, but you're right, like you're not going to have a camera shop there, but you might have a boutique or those type of things. What are some other things that you see are successful in those type of environments?
Well, it's a great question, Edgar. I think up front, I'd like to see more hotels, right? Not only do hotels drive bed tax, hotel visitors go out to eat 3 times a day. So unlike a resident who might go out to eat, you know, a couple times a week, you know, as a family treat, everyone gets to order cocktails and no one has to do the dishes. But hotel guy, even if hotel has its own restaurant, you might eat there for the continental breakfast. Yeah. But for lunch or dinner, you're going out somewhere else. So hotel development is absolutely huge. And then just residents up front as well, too. You need rooftops to make a downtown work. You see New York, right? Mm-hmm. And you walk the streets of Lower Manhattan and you say, gosh, like I want to have this. I want the Korean deli and this cool new Italian restaurant and this little Vietnamese place over here. And here's the cool noodle bar. Well, those exist because 5,000 residents live on top of each building. And so it creates its own little micro economy. We want that in Tucson, but without the height, without the density. And so quite frankly,
well, that was another question, density. Okay. So here's a question. So I just got back from New York. My son graduated from University of Mercy in Dobbs Ferry, New York. It's about 30, 40 minutes out of the city. And I went there and, you know, a lot of multiplexes, you know, high rises, all that type of stuff. And so when we talk about density, right, you know, and building up, you know, how high should we build? What's attractive? We don't want any kind of eyesores, that kind of thing. We don't want to be in New York, but we do want to, you know, have some economic impact. We want people living there. And because it also helps with transportation. If you have a lot of businesses and jobs there, they're not driving their cars everywhere. They're using, you know, public transportation, whether it's a trolley or a bus or whatever it might be.
Without a doubt. There are limitations on height here in Pima County, because as soon as you get to that eighth story, it requires a different fire code and different elevator and construction style change. And so most people aren't going that tall vertically in Arizona because it gets so expensive that you're better off going wide rather than going tall. And our real estate, of course, isn't New York level expensive either. Yeah. Hey, we do have a caller on the line over here, though. Hey, Charles Heller is calling in today. Got a quick question for Edgar or myself. Good morning, Charles.
Good morning. I have one for each of you. Edgar, I love it when a guest starts asking the host questions.
Yes.
Keep doing that. Quick question for Grant and then a question for Edgar. If a business in the private sector cannot make it downtown, why should the private sector then bail out businesses through Rio Nuevo? I have one more question after this.
So I'll jump on the restaurant front up over here quickly. The bottom line is they really shouldn't be bailing out businesses that didn't make it. I think that there's a better plan to seed new businesses that wouldn't exist in the first place, because you're literally getting zero on sales tax for all those warehouses, all those properties. And so if Rio Nuevo can prove, and there's been some questions about, you know, the reporting and whether that, you know, is being released on a timely manner to prove that they're garnering one more dollar in sales tax than what they were spending, you know, based in leveled out for the time value of money and whatnot, then perhaps the public good is served to create more taxable revenue. And you've got to think about the job applications as well, too. Restaurants, you know, have, you know, this large sales, but very low profit. Ultimately, the grand majority of the sales are going to food and beverage and to employees as well, too. And then that money gets spent over and over and over again. So hopefully
that's a reasonable answer. Thank you. Now for Edgar. Yes. Edgar, if you're elected, you're going to, Mr. Soto, I'm sorry, I don't know you.
You could call me Edgar. I would prefer that. Go ahead. Call me Edgar. Yeah.
Edgar. If you're elected, and I know you haven't had time to look this up, so I'm not trying to high center you here, but if you're elected, you're going to swear an oath to uphold the Constitution and the laws of the state of Arizona. And I want to ask you, based on what you know now, what is the stated purpose of government according to Arizona's Constitution?
Well, you're right. I don't know it verbatim, but I would. What I do know is what our preamble says, right? You know, that government... that we have we are endowed by our Creator that certain inalienable rights, and let me see here, and to protect and maintain our individual rights. But you know, I mean, so we do have a loyalty oath to uphold whatever state statutes or laws there are, and so yes, I mean that's number one. We've got to do that. We can't work around that. So
I would encourage you when you have time to look up Article 2, Section 2, which is right after what you just quoted about Article 1, Section 1 of Arizona's Constitution, that we are grateful to God for this Constitution. You're right. That's the first thing in there. And kudos, you're the first candidate I've ever talked to that knew that. But look up Article 2 and see what the stated purpose of government is. Because I'm telling you, if you learn that, you'll be able to beat other candidates over the head and shoulders with it. Anyway, have a blessed day.
No, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Great advice. Thanks, Charles. Appreciate you calling in today on Jump In. So as we were discussing, Edgar is running for Pima County Supervisor District 3, right? A crowded field indeed. I think there's four Democrats running in that race right now. And that election is going to be, again, on July 30th with ballots being mailed out on July 3rd. Why'd you jump into this election, Edgar?
You know, I've been involved in, you know, some of this, Grant, at the legislative level, getting a bill passed or drafted a bill, had an ad hoc committee, went through that whole process, literally saw how the sausage was made from being a lobbyist to working with, you know, across the aisle with Republicans and Democrats to get a Senate bill passed for the creation of our Southern Arizona Sports Tourism Film Authority, also helped get the film bill passed. But what I've realized is that if we want to do anything of significance at the state level, it has to be done at the legislative level. And here in Pima County, it has to be done at the policy level. So you know, I said, I can sit here and complain about stuff or talk about stuff, or I could jump in because I feel I have the skill set now. You know, I've been involved in education for over 28 years. I was part of the Flynn Brown Fellowship. I have a network of people that I've worked with that have helped really pass some really important bills for community colleges. And so I started to look at this and I started to see some things coming down the line, you know, with the Southern Arizona Sports and Tourism Film Authority, with, you know, being one of the four cities that could potentially host the World Baseball Classic, with potentially getting some more spring training games here. And what I looked at is what we're really trying to do is kind of what you talked about. We're trying to build and, you know, promote an economic boost here that's going to give people good jobs with livable wages so people can live lives of meaning and purpose. And I talk to students all the time because I actually teach a class also. I'm not just an administrator at PMA. I always make sure that I teach a class so I can actually talk to these students, like, what's important to you? And they want good jobs. And Grant, I appreciate you came down and toured our Desert Vista campus, and you called our kitchen a Lamborghini because
oh,
it's
yeah.
huge.
It's amazing. The culinary training program that you could have with that one down yeah. there is absolutely phenomenal. And mm-hmm. I'd love to work with you guys and JTED as well, too, mm-hmm. on this one. We just had the JTED students out over at Reforma actually just last week and gave them a tour of all of our kitchens and kind of showed them the soft white underbelly of the mm-hmm. restaurant business a bit, the good, bad, and ugly.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing that we talk about is some of these students, they need to know how to go work in some of these smaller kitchens, right? Because they're not going to have this big Lamborghini all the time. You know, how do you operate when these kitchens are smaller and you don't have as much space? And, you know, we want real life experiences. And that's why we're opening up a restaurant there at the Desert Vista campus. So student-run restaurants, so they can see the day-to-day stuff. Because if there's anything I've learned through this process also is that, you know, college is a great pathway for a lot of people to get good jobs. But there's other pathways. There's some of the vocational pathways. There's, you know, things as far as, you know, we have certificate programs, 8 weeks, 13 weeks, where they can get good jobs, right? So, you know, going the bachelor route is not perfect for everybody. Some people just need to get a skill set, right, and a trade and to have a good job, so.
No, without a doubt. I think that those are very sage words over there. And certainly we as a community should support both PBM Community College and JTED because there's multiple paths for our youth and some of which aren't necessarily a four-year college degree. And people can be very, very successful in some of these trades and endeavors as well, too. So speaking of success, it looks like your campaign is garnering some steam over here. You've got Sharon Bronson endorsement as well, too.
You know, I've got some momentum going now. I was a little worried because I started really late, but I've got some momentum with Sharon Bronson, Richard Fiembrez, Ricky Hunley. That's, you know, those of you who've been in Tucson for a while know that name. But then, you know, what's interesting is also Mayor Ed Honey, who's a Republican, you know. So that's the thing that my platform is, I'm willing to work with anybody that wants to build community. If you're willing to build community and work together to, you know, have pathways to prosperity, I'm on board. Now, if you're trying to create obstacles for that, then yeah, you know, we need to go in another direction. But, you know, I want to work with anybody who wants to build community and bring economic impact here. Just on another note, one of the things I attended was the Fox Theater. They had a panel discussion with site selectors, right? So these are the people that bring in Caterpillar, that bring in Amazon. And one of the things they say, they want to make sure that our city municipalities working well with the county, with the authorities, and some of this stuff is really important, and we need to make sure that we have the right people in place that can bring those people here, and with responsible development and you know, taking care of our Sonoran Desert as well. But we, growth is coming, whether we like it or not, to Southern Arizona. We got to make sure we have the infrastructure to support it.
No, you're doing a great job to help promote that growth. I mean, I've had the pleasure of sitting and working on various charitable organizations with you over here, both charitable and political, right? Mm-hmm. Like both through the Metro Chamber, the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, yeah. SALC, right? Yeah. Southern Arizona Film and Tourism Authority as well, too. You were on the show about 6 months ago. We were talking about baseball mm-hmm. with Jay Zucker and, you know, what's entailed for the future of baseball. Mm-hmm. And maybe when we come back after the break, I could ask you a few questions about that one, too, about, you know, where we might be. I'm hearing some rumblings about some potential professional baseball coming back to Southern Arizona. Maybe you could share the hot gossip with our listeners when we come back over here. You're listening to Grant Kruger on Jump In Tucson. We've got a couple more segments with Edgar Soto coming back up after the break. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to 10:30 a.m. The Voice. Hey, welcome back to Jump In Tucson. I am your host, Grant Kruger, and we are joined again for another segment with Edgar Soto, administrator of Pima Community College, running for the Pima County Board of Supervisors, District 3. Welcome back, Edgar.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So we were talking baseball both in a previous show, and I kind of teased it before. Can you share any little nuggets with our listeners out there about what could be coming in professional baseball?
Well, we're one of four cities that have bid to host the World Baseball Classic, and it's looking good. You know, I can't say anything as far as exactly what's happening yet, but I feel like we're in a good place right now, and we've got to just go through a few things, making sure that we're on point. I think we have a really good chance of being a host, so I'm excited about that. And then we're still talking with the Diamondbacks. Like I meant before, I mentioned maybe, well, no, I didn't mention this in our last meeting that we had, was I met with Ken Kendrick, the owner, Derek Hall, the president of the Arizona Diamondbacks, and Gonzo, Luis Gonzalez. And so we're planning on trying to get some games here in 2025 to play potentially a team from Mexico, you know, maybe another major league team. You know, our Southern Arizona Sports and Tourism Authority, we are part of the Cactus League. So we're part of that, and we're not on their board, but on their committee. And so, you know, we're having these discussions, which would be cool. I know maybe we don't get a major league team back here, but we get some games here and bring you some of their bigger stars. And that, I think that would be, you know, a shot of adrenaline for Tucson, and to get some of that back and to have a World Baseball Classic qualifier here would give us some of those memories, some of those events back would be great.
No, I love hometown local sports, mm-hmm. right? As we talked about last week, Rio Nuevo has kind of salvaged the Tucson Roadrunners as well, too, to stick around here and play at least 30 of their 36 home games. Mm-hmm. And there was a couple pieces out there. Tim Steller wrote an op-ed about, you know, questioning the finances of Rio Nuevo's decision for that one. But I believe that local sports doesn't always show up on the X's and O's on a spreadsheet, mm-hmm. right? But that civic pride of having your local hometown team, whether it be the Sugar Skulls, the Roadrunners, perhaps a semi-pro baseball team, and most certainly, of course, our University of Arizona and Pima Community College teams, like there's a certain benefit to that that doesn't show up in the X's and O's, but certainly creates a lot of civic pride and something I'm very big on. And so I'm really excited to hear what developments you might have coming up in baseball. Yeah. Speaking of sports, you've been a coach, an athletic director, an administrator, and a teacher. What parallels can you put between coaching and politics? Like, what do you think in your career over 27 years at Pima has prepared you for this moment?
I love this question, because one of the things that I always kind of shied away from when I was trying to kind of advance at Pima Community College and in the academia world was sometimes being a sports guy can work against you, because you're the old, you get pigeonholed as a jock guy or the fitness guy, whatever it is. But there are so many things that we learn as coaches, that we know as coaches, that help us be successful in this job. I mean, I think my coaching and my experience in the Marine Corps have really helped me advance in administration, because I know how to put together a team. I know how, when things don't go right, how to regroup, you know, and get things back on track. I know how to find people and put them in the right roles, right? If you've got a center fielder, you're not gonna put them at catcher, right? You're gonna put people in the right roles that they can be successful. And a lot of times I think administrators that haven't, you know, had that, and you get this in the restaurant business, there's some challenges, some things, mistakes, people, you know, fail. And so how do you respond to that, right? You know, literally in sports, sometimes you get knocked on your butt and you got to pick yourself up and keep moving, right? And so, you know, being able to have a vision and being able to work with team members across ethnicities, across socioeconomic, across religion, all the different things that require somebody to be successful, is that you got to get people in the right roles. And when things don't go well, you got to readjust and keep moving forward, right? And I think that has served me well as an administrator, is my experience as a coach.
Do you think you could come across the aisle and work with politicians on both sides of the issues here? Because this is certainly something that's been really, really challenging on, like, say, a state level, our very divided legislature. Yeah. And of course, we've got a fair bit of division on that Pima County Board of Supervisors as well, too, right now. Like, do you think you can come across the aisle and work with both sides?
That's what I do. I mean, I'm someone who can bring people together and get them working together. I've done that all my life, you know. And one of the things that I've realized in politics is that, you know, we all want the same thing, right? And we might have different pathways to get there, but if we can just continue to have conversations, like We can't stop having the dialogue. We can't stop meeting across from each other and having civil conversations. You know, I always use the example of when Raul Grijalva and Juan Siscomani were at the aviation, Pima Community College Aviation, and they had a discussion. Probably one of the most civil discussions I've ever seen between two, you know, different parties, you know, and they were able to agree on a lot of things. Of course, we need, you know, we need to fix the border issues, right? We need, you know, infrastructure. You know, people want to live in safe neighborhoods, right? They want to have their commute to work and not have, you know, their car hit a pothole, right? I mean, we spend $3 billion a year in the U.S. on fixing cars because of our potholes, right? So these are things I think we could all agree on, whether however we identify, wherever we work, if we're Republican, Democrat, we're all driving on these same roads, right? And so, you know, if we could come to agreement on some of these other things that you know, that we all need, you know, I think we can really solve a lot of problems.
What do you think you could do as Pima County Supervisor to stop some of the crime problem that we've got going on over here?
Yeah.
But the supervisors famously have at least worked a little bit with Tucson Crime Free Coalition, mm-hmm. and they were able to get up those no panhandling signs, right? Say mm-hmm. no to panhandling, mm-hmm. say yes yeah. to organizations helping those in need. Yeah. And the city, of course, refused to participate with that. Like, what else do you think you could do as county supervisor to help work on the crime issue that we're having?
You know, I think a lot of the crime has to do with our homelessness, our fentanyl issue, and the mental health issues that are going on, right? You know, one of the things we've always said, or I've said, is that we don't have a homeless issue, we have a fentanyl and a mental health crisis, right? So how do we put programs or, you know, opportunities in place that are going to deal with the root of the problem? You know, I know we do some very compassionate things. We might put them up in a hotel for a couple weeks and do these type of things, but that's just putting a Band-Aid on the problem, right? There's some solutions. There's some cities that are actually doing some things that are successful, right? There's, sanctioned like camping areas where there's different levels. Like you start there, then maybe you get to the small houses, then maybe you get to some homes and you know, some real situations where you can have a home, you know? So there's a lot of other places that are, I call them best practices out there that are successful. You know, I talked to a friend of mine. She's a professor at the University of Michigan, and she's like one of the leading professors in this area. And we have a lot of conversations about, her name is Dea Martinez, and she gives me a lot of insight on what's successful, what works, what doesn't work, and how we can deal with the root of the problem. But we've got to have those conversations. We got to dive deep into them and have some real common solutions.
So Pima County District 3 happens to be one of the largest districts yeah. in the state as well, too. Like, this goes all the way out to the southwest, mm-hmm. right, encompasses the areas, you know, around near where the casino is, and then mm-hmm. all the way south to the border as well, too,
yeah,
correct?
Yeah, Ajo, Arivaca, Three Points, and, you know, unincorporated places and urban places. So you have all these different things, and people have different needs. You know, Ajo has about 3,000 people and 5,000 people when it's winter time. You know, they don't want to necessarily get any bigger, but what they do want is good jobs over there. They want healthcare over there. They want a veterinarian there. You know, they want things that are basic needs that are there. So unincorporated places compared to, you know, here in Tucson, there's different needs. And my job is not to go in there with any of my agenda or personal policies. No, I'm there to listen to my constituents and get them what they need to be successful. So that's the approach I take. I don't have anything that I am personally trying to get accomplished. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to be a voice for the people, you know, a voice for my District 3.
Have you had a chance to make it out to some of those areas like Arivaca and whatnot, like a further west of the city to visit some of these
yes.
spots?
You know, I've been to Ajo a few times. I was just getting a phone call. We're actually going to have a baseball camp out there on June 29th. That's the plan. So, you know, I went over there and I was speaking at it's called a WPC event, but it's people from Pima County and we're out there talking. And I was just listening and talking to the people, and I was watching a baseball and softball practice. I was like, wow, this is really cool. And I started to talk to the coach there, and we started to, you know, get some thoughts on having a camp there. So I'm going to take a couple of my former ball players to go do a baseball camp there. I'm trying to get Stacy Iveson, who's a good friend of mine, used to coach University of Arizona, to do work on the softball side, and Heather Moore, who's a volleyball coach but an amazing coach and is good friends with Stacy. And we're trying to do something there June 29th. So we'll see what happens. I just got a call, and so hopefully it all works out. But yeah, Ajo, 3 points. I met with the lady Sandy over there, and you know, some of their things is transportation, right? They need to go buy groceries and have a pharmacy that's open and at a reasonable time for them. Yeah,
no, that's great. I think that's fantastic way to reach out to the people of Ajo. Let them know that you're running. You're listening to Pima County Supervisor candidate for District 3, Edgar Soto. We've got one more segment with Edgar coming up after the break. Thanks for listening to Jump in Tucson with your host Grant Kruger. Thanks for joining us on the final segment of Jump in Tucson. I'm your host, Grant Kruger. On Jump In, we talk local Tucson politics, restaurants, development, every single day, 9 to 10 a.m., following up Chris DeSimone's Wake Up Tucson in the Morning. Tomorrow, you've got Tom Moulton from the Southern Arizona Attraction Alliance. On Friday, Dr. Ed Ackerley coming in. But we've got one more segment with Edgar Soto, candidate for Pima County Supervisor, District 6. Welcome back, Edgar, or District 3.
You know, I was thinking about, somebody asked me the other day, you know, what is it that you asked me right now about being a coach, working at Pima. And so one of the things I do as a teacher, as a faculty member at Pima, is I help students, you know, find them a pathway to success. And that's kind of what I'm trying to do with Pima County. Like, there's so much possibility out there right now. I know everybody thinks about what's going wrong, what's going bad, but there's a lot of things going right. You know, these dominoes are setting up for some of these events and some of these opportunities out here, whether it's downtown, whether it's out in Ajo, whether it's, you know, with Frank Knott and Mosaic Quarters. Like, there's these dominoes are being set up, and we need to make sure that we're ready for that when it comes, because it's coming, you know. And I think we got some opportunities and some possibilities out there.
No, without a doubt. Chris DeSimone was talking earlier this morning about the Big Five and Rio Nuevo's identification of the Tour of Tucson and the Dusk Music Festival, mm-hmm. the Arizona Bowl, the Jazz Festival is sort of their big events. And I'd love to see more out there. I think that this sort of community pride that comes from hosting big, cool events it makes us stay in Tucson. It's one more reason to hang out here as opposed to rolling up to Phoenix every week mm-hmm. to take a flight out of Phoenix, or rolling up to Phoenix for a concert or a sporting event, when we can capture that revenue and public enjoyment here in the Old Pueblo.
Well, here's another important part of it with TIA and some of the things going on. You've seen some of the billboards fly out of Tucson, right? I went to go watch my son graduate from out there in New York, and I went to Phoenix. I drove to Phoenix and flew out. I need to fly out of Tucson, because we need more flights, and if we keep going to Phoenix to fly out, we're not going to have as many direct flights to New York, right? But here's something interesting that I heard from somebody, and maybe you guys could do some research, because I don't remember it, but in the 70s, apparently we hosted a preseason NFL football game here. I think the Green Bay Packers and I don't know if it was the Kansas City Chiefs or something, but maybe we can do some research on that. But one of the things that we're also trying to do as an authority is maybe have like a preseason basketball game here. Maybe you can, you know, with, you know, Steve Kerr and you get the Golden State Warriors and you get the Phoenix Suns out here. I mean, we're a huge market out here, a million people. And so wouldn't that be cool to have a preseason NBA game here in Tucson, right?
Well, it would be fantastic. Yeah. That would be amazing. And we've looked, you know, I remember Ali Farhang was looking to try to get the Raiders here for one season a couple of years ago, when they were sort of in limbo between their California and Las Vegas locations.
We need more Ali Farhangs, because when I was going through this Southern Arizona Sports and Tourism Authority, a lot of people just said, oh, that's not going to work. They'll never get that bill passed. And now it's a statute, but the only one that was crazy enough to think it could happen was one of the only ones was Ali. You know, if you're trying to bring the Raiders here, I mean, he's got big ideas, right? And, you know, with the Sugar Skulls, I mean, he's done really amazing things here, but you've got to think that way. You got to have a vision, and it's got to be broad. It can't just be, that can't happen. No, you know what? Let's try. Maybe it doesn't happen, but we got to give it a shot. We got to take some risk.
Without a doubt, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take, right?
Exactly.
And so I salute Ali for bringing the Arizona Bowl and its success mm-hmm. over this last decade as well, too, mm-hmm. is really surprising, because that was a difficult, difficult task to achieve.
You know, and he's got some great people working with him, with Dell, Arroyo, Eric, Kim, Adair. Like, they have a way of being innovative and solving problems. You know, I think a lot of times in Tucson that you get one side thinking one way and the others, and then there's no way to kind of work it out and compromise. I feel like the team he has, they're able to compromise with city, county authorities, all that kind of stuff. So I'm really excited for the Arizona Bowl, and with Snoop Dogg being part of it and sponsoring it, that's going to be really cool. And I think it's going to help University of Arizona, you know, those young kids that are trying to decide where they're going to go play football. You know, that kind of excitement can draw some really talented recruits here as well.
Again, these are the kind of benefits that don't necessarily show up on a balance sheet on the X's and O's, that intangible benefit, goodwill, as they might call it, on the books of a, say, business for sale or something, that I think would really continue to help us out here in Southern Arizona. And I appreciate you running for this race. I think that it takes a lot of lower intestinal fortitude to put yourself out there and to run for office. I'm starting to see your signs all over town. Yeah. Tell me about the sign. You got a big one out there.
You know, I worked with the Live the Dream Media, and they've helped me with that. A good friend of mine, Clint Peake, has, we reconnected. Like, I'd known him when I was still coaching baseball, and that's the thing. Like, for me, you know, unlike my opponents, for, you know, they're trying to build relationships. For me, I've already established a lot of relationships, and I'm trying to activate them and organize them. You know, I've been here all my life. My family's been here for generations, right? I'm a native Tucsonan. I've lived in Pima County forever, and my family has deep roots here. And so for me, it's more a part of activating the people and the relationships that I've made, my family's made, because we're really, you know, we've had a really good experience here. You know, all my family's of service, you know, police officers, teachers, and those type of social work, that kind of stuff. And so, you know, I just want to give back, and I want to make sure that we have a Pima County that's not just great for now, but for generations to come.
No, I think that's great, Edgar. We've only got a couple minutes left in this segment. Give us the website. Where can we find out more information about Edgar Soto over here?
Go to Soto4Supervisor.com. That's my website. Now, I've gotten pretty active on social media. I have a Facebook and Instagram. I've never had it before, so I have some people helping me with that. But you could also go on Facebook and friend me. And I love that. I love kind of looking at what's going on. I've got a couple commercials coming out, some advertising coming out, kind of just talking about what's important to me, what matters most to our Pima County. And this is not me. This is people I've talked to. You know, I've Canvas. We had some canvassing last Saturday. We had 14 people canvassing. So if anybody's interested in helping out and volunteering and canvassing or phone banking, I need as much help as possible. This isn't important. This is a swing vote. This is gonna make a difference. So it's important that I'm part of the Board of Supervisors.
No, I think would be a great opportunity for Southern Arizona to have a leader such as yourself, someone that's been established with over 27 years of administrative experience in both Pima Community College. You were ex-Marine as well, too?
Yeah, former Marine Corps. You know, my dad was a Marine. I was actually born on November 10th, and you Marines out there know what date that is, but that's the Marine Corps birthday. So my dad was really proud to have a son born on the Marine Corps birthday because he was a Marine, and I'm a Marine, so...
No, thank you for your service, and thank you for running as well, too. Again, it is no easy feat for people to do, particularly in the divided political world that we're living in today, right?
Like, I'm bringing people together. I'm going to talk to everybody, whether they oppose me or not. I'm going to have conversations. I give my cell number out to everybody, 520-904-1334. I'm always going to be accessible.
Be careful. There's a cell phone number out there, ladies. So ultimately, this race is probably going to be decided in the primary. There's a significant Democrat voter registration on the general. And so we may know as soon as the end of July who is, you know, potentially the winner of District 3.
39,000 Democrats are in District 3, 37,000 independents, and 31,000 Republicans. It's you know, a Democrat's going to win. And I would say you want a moderate Democrat like me to help work across the aisle and get some things done.
No, I think that would be very sage advice. Well, go take a look at Soto4Supervisor.com. This is Edgar Soto, Pima County Supervisor, District 3 candidate. We've had a fantastic discussion today. I appreciate you taking the time to spend your mornings with us on Jump in Tucson. Again, tomorrow, we've got Tom Moulton from the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance out there, Dr. Ed Ackerley on Friday. It has been a treat to spend this wonderful Wednesday morning with you, Tucson. Thank you for listening. Thank you again, Edgar, for joining us on Jump In Tucson. You've been listening to Jump In. Grant Kruger, your host on 10:30 a.m. The Voice, your home for local news and talk.